You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 462.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi.
And also, we have a guest on the line. We had a guest last week. We have a guest this week. This is 2 weeks in a row with guests, which is very bizarre for us.
Not like us at all.
But I think we're going to try to ramp up the guests this year. We'll see. Maybe it's all over after this week. We'll see how it goes. But with us today, everybody, from the Earth Station DCU podcast here on the ESO Network, please welcome Drew.
Hey, Kevin and Cornflake. How you doing?
Hello, Drew.
We are so happy to have you with us today. And, of course, you host Earth Station DCU, where you discuss all things DC comics, DC TV shows, DC movies, all that stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've had you on our show several times, but this is my first time here.
That's exactly what I was thinking was I looked it up because I keep careful records of everything because I'm a maniac. You've been kind enough to have me as a guest on Earth Station DCU 10 times. Did you realize that? I've been on your show 10 times.
No, I didn't realize that.
You know, yeah, you better reel it in, cut back. Right? That's way too much of me. But I thought, you know, where are my manners? You've been so kind to have me on your show all those times. You've never been here. So that ends. That changes right now. Glad to have you here. We're going to get into some DC stuff. But first, Cornflake, how about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, given that Drew is on Earth Station DCU, I wanted to keep whatever was being celebrated today relevant. So I found out about a celebrity having a 50th birthday. Let's see if you can figure out who I'm talking about.
Ooh.
Based on these clues. In the Disney movie Frozen in 2013, he voices the Duke of Weaseltown, who is accidentally called the Duke of Weaseltown. And then in 2016, he voiced Duke Weaseltown in Zootopia, who is accidentally called Duke Weaseltown. So he voices both of these characters. Do you know who he is?
I am clueless so far. Drew, do you have any idea what she's talking about?
I'm clueless also because I haven't seen either one of those movies.
Yeah, I have not either. Okay, do you have more hints or is that it? Do we just give it up at this point?
On March 16th, Alan Tudyk is turning 50.
Wow, okay.
So voice credits in Frozen and Zootopia, of course, are not as important to the likes of us as, say, the fact that he voices Hey Hey the chicken in Moana.
Yes. Alan Tudyk's geek credits go on and on and on. He's done so much.
He's well known for playing Wash in the TV series Firefly.
Of course. Where I first knew him was Firefly.
Same here.
Well, I think the first time I ever saw him was he played a character in Patch Adams.
Oh, you go back way farther with Alan Tudyk than I do.
Yeah.
He's in the Wreck-It Ralph movies, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He's the voice of Alistair Cray in Big Hero 6, which I just recently saw.
Yeah, and that's a Marvel movie, technically, I believe. He has some DC stuff too, though, right?
Yeah, he also voices Joker and Clayface in the DCU HBO Max series Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah, okay. Drew, have you seen the Harley Quinn cartoon? I've only seen like 4 or 5 episodes, I think.
I don't think I have.
Yeah. It's an adult, you know, with naughty words and whatnot, Harley Quinn cartoon with Kaley Cuoco is the voice of Harley Quinn. And yeah, I saw the first episode. We were not thrilled with it. And so we kind of drifted away. And then I've seen 3 or 4 since then. And it's pretty funny. It's kind of growing on me. I didn't realize that Alan Tudyk was involved in that, though. That's good to know.
Yes, the Joker, no less. But I love him because he was the voice of Danger Boat back when they redid The Tick. He plays a personified boat, and it's very funny.
But he has another DC credit, at least one other DC credit as well, live action DC. Drew, do you remember that weird comedy show Powerless a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I do. Was he on that?
Yeah. He was like the executive that ran that office.
That's not the only live action DC thing he's been in.
What else did he do? I can't remember.
Doom Patrol.
Oh, of course, Doom Patrol. Yes. Man. Oh.
Can't forget Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I forgot Doom Patrol. I remembered Powerless, which literally everyone else has completely forgotten about. Yeah, what is he, Mr. Nobody or something like that on Doom Patrol?
Yes, he's Mr. Nobody in season one.
He is Mr. Nobody. Okay. Yes, of course. Yeah, this guy's done so much.
Any viewers of the animated series Young Justice?
Yeah. Oh, no. Did he work on Young Justice also?
Yeah. He was the voice of Green Arrow.
Was he? Oh, I had no idea.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Because, Young Justice is fantastic. That was such a great show. But the credits flash by so quickly on those cartoons, especially, that unless you research the credits on the internet, who knows who does what voice?
Yeah, sometimes I'll hear a voice that sounds something like him, and I'll go, is that? And I'll go look it up, and oh, yeah, it definitely is Alan Tudyk.
Sometimes I just stop people on the street and I say, hey, you, are you Alan Tudyk? Just to make sure. I just don't want to miss him, because sometimes he just gets right by me like that.
He's even in Raya the Last Dragon, which I've not yet had a chance to see.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. That's like a new cartoon movie.
Yeah, brand new.
And he's in that? Is he the dragon?
He's Tuk-Tuk. He's not the dragon, but...
Well, what's a Tuk-Tuk? Is that a different dragon or like a capybara? What is it?
I'm not sure who Tuk-Tuk is yet. I just know that the dragon is played by a girl. So okay. I don't know what a Tuk-Tuk is yet. I'm going to find out.
I'm going to assume it's a wombat.
It's not out of the question.
Let's hope so. Well, nice job coming up with a whatever day that ties into our DC talk for today. That's impressive. You did it.
Well, that's what you pay me the big bucks for.
You know what? I'm tripling your salary this week.
Yes. Triple zero.
Let me get out my calculator so I can work this out. But I don't think it's going to put too big a dent in our budget.
I'm sure you guys have the same budget we have.
Yeah, maybe a little less. It might be a little lower than yours. Well, happy birthday. Happy 50th birthday to Alan Tudyk, star of a million things from DC Comics. And speaking of DC Comics, look who's with us today, of course. Here's Drew from Drew and Cletus, a co-host together, Earth Station DCU, every single week. And if anyone listening, if you're into DC at all and you have not yet listened to Earth Station DCU, well, what are you waiting for? You guys have been doing the show for several years now and just cranking it out every week. I've been very impressed by your dedication to the nasty world of podcasting.
We're coming up on our 5-year anniversary this spring.
Yeah.
Ooh, congratulations.
In podcasting, that's like 50 years. Your podcast is essentially as old as Alan Tudyk. You share a birthday.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
Yeah, no, I get that, because we've been doing the Flopcast forever as well, but it feels like we just started. And the reason is you never get a break. It never ends.
Right. It's not a milestone-y thing.
We don't have time to have milestones, because as soon as you finish a show, if you're doing a weekly show like this, it's all right, time to make the next show.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know it.
You know. Yeah, you know.
I know. I got to read comics and watch television shows almost every week. So
it's not easy.
Nope.
Yeah, you guys cover so much current DC Comics stuff and DC TV stuff every week. Like, how many on average, how many comics do you cover?
5 to 10.
Wow.
Yep.
Weekly.
So... Yes.
I listen to the top of your show, then you'll say, well, this week we're going to be covering, and then this list goes on and on and on. Like,
but I try to cover everything that's relevant.
Yeah.
So, and then stuff we're interested in.
Sure. But which is a lot. I mean, all the major events and the major titles, and man, you guys are right on top of it. I don't know how you do it.
With the future state event that just happened the last 2 months.
Yeah.
We covered everything.
Yes. That's what your last show, at the beginning of the show, you listed like 20 titles that started with Future State.
I know. I got tired of saying Future State. I can tell you that.
Yeah. DC just does one giant crazy crossover event after another. And then the TV stuff as well, because you have to follow all these CW Arrowverse DC TV shows and cover those every week.
Yes. And I love watching all the CW DC shows. Well, it's not just the CW ones. I mean, we right. did Doom Patrol. We've, you know, some of the other ones too that aren't on the CW.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Obviously, most of them are CW. And I watch all this stuff as yep. well, but I can afford to slack off and let them pile up for a few weeks. And whereas you have to just keep pretty current on all this stuff.
Yes, I have to keep on them all the time. So
yeah, I'm actually pretty much caught up right now. I think I'm like two Black Lightnings and one Superman and Lois behind right now, which is usually I have like a dozen of those shows. They pile up quickly.
Normally, Flash is my favorite show, but I'm really loving the new Superman and Lois show.
Yeah, usually the new shows are the best because it's something a little different. It's something fresh. And so that whatever is newest will usually be my favorite for a while. And then it just kind of settles in and just seems like all the rest of them. And I just think, what am I doing? As we enter like year nine of Green Arrow. And you know, these shows that just go on and on and on. I'm like, oh, come on. So I'm sure any day now I'll be completely sick of Superman and Lois, which I've seen two episodes of. I'm a little concerned, the new Superman and Lois show, which I'm assuming you have not had a chance to see yet. It's pretty good. You may actually like this one. But it's Superman and Lois are married. They move back to Smallville, and they have twin teenage sons.
Oh.
One of whom apparently is developing superpowers. So, all right, interesting premise. The problem is I'm so afraid it's just going to get bogged down in, you know, moping around teenage stuff.
Teeny bopper stuff.
Yeah, and even the parent stuff. I don't want to see Lois and Clark just whining about their kids.
But you love kids. I don't understand, Kevin.
I feel like that's going to be like 80% of the show.
Yeah, Cletus is... stated that he's afraid that the show's just going to start focusing on the boy eventually.
That could very well be. So I think my favorite right now is Stargirl.
Oh, Stargirl is really good.
I'm looking forward to Stargirl coming back. And as old school DC fans, man, they are delivering on Stargirl, you know, doing not just the Stargirl, Starman stuff, but all the JSA stuff and all the Seven Soldiers of Victory they're even going into. You know, my head exploded when they started talking about the Seven Soldiers of Victory. Wow.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but John Wesley Shipp, I saw it on his Facebook. He was just recording for Stargirl. So, and I'm guessing you know what character he's going to play.
I could take a guess. Yeah, so that's cool. That's exciting. And yeah, I mean, obviously, even some of the stuff that they teased at the end of the first season, I'm very excited about, especially as a Starman fan of that 90s Starman series. Obviously, there was a fantastic tease.
We're going to be getting a Stargirl comic book coming out in a few months, I believe. It looked like it was focusing like it was the show kind of comic.
Sure. That makes sense.
So, had Pat in it and everything. So
oh, nice. Yeah. I read very little DC comics these days. As far as current new comics from DC, I read essentially nothing. And I'm a lifelong DC comics fan, but that's what it's come to.
Well, if we want to keep up on things, all you have to do is listen to our show.
There you go. I don't have to read them anymore. I have your podcast.
Because I'll do a recap of the comics before we discuss them. So
yep.
You'll get the gist of what's going on. I try to do that in case people don't want to read stuff and they just,
sure,
you know.
It's like the quote from The Lost Boys, which our friend Ken Reed, he does the TV Guidance Counselor podcast, and he plays the quote from The Lost Boys at the beginning of every show, where that guy, the old grandfather in Lost Boys, he says, if you read the TV guide, you don't need a TV. Earth Station DCU, same thing. You're going to put that company right out of business. Yeah, I think the last like DC stuff that I can think of that I actually read was like that Wonder Comics line last year.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I read Dial H for Hero, which was great.
Yep.
And Wonder Twins was fantastic.
Wonder Twins? The Wonder Twins was really good, too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's Mark Russell. I read anything Mark Russell does.
Yep.
His name might even come up later in our show. So before we get into our top 4.5 list, which is coming up in just a couple of minutes, I wanted to kind of get a sense of how you even come to this nerd world of ours, Drew. So how did you first become exposed or interested in DC comics, whether the comics or cartoons or a TV show or whatever? What got you into DC?
All right. My first introduction to DC was the Batman 66 show.
Oh,
and nice. I just distinctively remember being 5 years old, eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and watching the Julie Newmar Catwoman episode where Batman and Robin get trapped with the moving walls and the spikes. I remember watching that episode. That ended up being one of my favorite episodes. And I even got it on Viewmaster, if you remember what those are.
Oh, yeah.
No, Drew, I'm not kidding right now. I have Viewmaster reels within arm's reach right now. Yes, I know Viewmaster.
But that Catwoman episode ended up being in the Viewmaster. So do you have that one?
I don't have that one. No, I only have a handful of Viewmasters here. I don't have any Batman reels, but man, that's great. Yeah, Drew, I'll bet there were a lot of young kids, I think, that grew up pretty fast due to watching Julie Newmar on Batman 66.
The other thing that got me into DC Comics was Super Friends.
Yes.
And that was my favorite cartoon every Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I'd watch Super Friends cartoon when it'd come on, and I always had to watch the Schoolhouse Rock that came on right after it.
What do you mean, had to watch? That's a privilege to watch Schoolhouse Rock. We are
I love Schoolhouse Rock.
We're rather Schoolhouse Rock obsessed around here. But what's funny is that I asked you that question about how you got into DC, and I think my answer might be exactly the same. I couldn't say for sure if I saw Super Friends or Batman 66 first, but yeah, same for me, I think.
I remember seeing Batman 66 first, so.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible I could have seen Super Friends first, but that's what I remember seeing first.
Who would be your favorite Bat villain from Batman 66?
Probably the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. Got to go Cesar Romero. Cover up the mustache.
Yep.
More makeup over here, please. We're trying to cover up the mustache. Cornflake, favorite villain from the old Adam West Batman series? Do you have a preference?
Oh, the Riddler.
Riddler, Frank Gorshin?
Yeah.
Or his replacement, John Astin.
I couldn't tell. I was too little. I could not tell.
Yeah, when we
difference.
Were kids, we didn't even notice. But yeah, it was usually Frank Gorshin. But then once or twice towards the end, I believe it was John Astin from Adam's Family. I mean, they went through three Catwomen, so I guess they could mix it up with the Riddler as well. My least favorite back in the day was King Tut. I would always be disappointed if it was a King Tut episode. But then later in life, I came to appreciate the brilliance of Victor Buono as King Tut. So that they won me over eventually. Now, do you remember, Drew, making the transition from just watching the shows and the cartoons into reading the comics?
Oh, yes. My very first comic I remember buying was Batman 434. It was part two of The Many Deaths of Batman.
This would have been like mid-80s?
Yeah, mid-80s.
Okay.
Because I was babysitting and earning some cash, so I had some cash to burn. So I started getting into comics. I used to ride my bike uptown to the local drugstore, and they had those old comic book racks, and that's where I'd get my comics. I started picking up Batman, Detective Comics, and the Spider-Man titles. Spectacular Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, and Web of Spider-Man. That's how I got into comics.
Very nice.
So I was getting DC and Marvel.
I did not read much Marvel, but I totally relate to riding my bike to a drugstore to buy comics. That's exactly what I used to do. Very rarely would I pick up a Marvel, though. I was pretty strictly a DC kid back in the day. My first comic was Shazam number 11.
See, I don't remember them having, I'm going to call him Captain Marvel, on... I don't remember them having Captain Marvel on the newsstand, or I probably would have got it.
Yeah, the Shazam comic was like early to mid-70s.
I remember there was a cartoon that used to be on that had Captain Marvel and Freddie and Mary, if I remember right.
There was Filmation did live-action Shazam Saturday morning show in the mid-70s. And then
I remember that.
In the late 70s or early 80s, then there was the Kids Superpower Hour with Shazam. And yeah, that show included the Shazam cartoon. Good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, that was my first comic was indeed a Shazam / Captain Marvel comic. And here we are 40 something years later. So what we wanted to do with Drew today, since we have a couple of old school DC super fans on the call, plus Cornflake here to just laugh at us as we nerd out over all this stuff, is we're going to do a good old fashioned Flopcast top 4.5 list.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? One half?
The top 4.5 list.
And I thought what we'd do for the subject today is goofy DC characters. Just stupid, ridiculous, funny, however you want to interpret your idea of the goofiest characters from DC. I made a list. Drew made a list. Cornflake's just going to judge us harshly.
Well, I was going to try to be a little nicer than usual since we have a guest, but if you insist.
You may speak freely. We know we're total nerds about all this stuff. So let's see what happens. We're just going to goof around and discuss goofy DC stuff. So, Drew, you're our guest. You're up first. What do you have at number 4?
For number 4, I have Mr. Mixie Piddalick.
Wow, that is a strong start.
And I remember seeing him on Super Friends first.
Yes.
That's where I was introduced to him.
Yeah, I think I was aware of the character from the comics before his Super Friends appearance. But what I remember especially from the Super Friends is that they pronounced the name and they said it as like Mixleplick on Super Friends. They sort of made it into a 3-syllable Mixleplick. And then like later, I think like on the Superman animated series of the 90s, then they would really kind of stick more to the comics spelling and say like Mixius Pitlick. How do you pronounce it personally, Drew, in your day-to-day life?
Oh, man. He was on a couple episodes of Supergirl.
Yes.
And when we were doing our recording, I had so much problems pronouncing his name.
Yeah, man, that's a tongue twister to try to do a podcast about.
But I pronounce it Mixie Piddalick.
Yeah, that's pretty close to the spelling. That's good.
But that's after lots of practice.
Well, it's good to hear it. I have always wondered.
Every morning I get in front of the mirror and I spend like a half hour just pronouncing Mixie's Piddalick.
I want to try it. Mixie Piddalick.
That's good. That's good. You're one of us now.
Now we got to start practicing it backwards just in case he shows up.
Yes. That's how you get him to go away. You have to trick him into saying his own name backwards. Otherwise, you're stuck with a fifth dimensional. Was it fifth dimension that he's from?
Yes, it was fifth dimension.
Fifth dimension imp that would pop up and harass poor Superman. Yeah, super goofy character. And at the same time, crazy powerful.
Yes.
You know?
Very crazy powerful.
For such a ridiculous, goofy character, wearing the little derby hat just looks so stupid and ridiculous, and yet can essentially do anything.
Yep.
Yeah. I had the doll, like the Mego action figure of Mr. Mixius Piddalick. Well, I have, I should say. I still do. Which was weird because it was full size. He was like a full size guy, the Mego doll. They didn't want to have to design a different sized figure, I guess. So he stands, the doll version from the 70s stands just as tall as Superman. Weirdly.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. I loved on the Superman animated series of the 90s when they brought in Mixius Piddalick and he was voiced by Gilbert Gottfried. That was perfect.
I missed Superman the animated series somehow.
Oh, it's good stuff.
I found out that it was a thing sometime after it had aired. I was like, they had a Superman the animated series and I missed it? So I've been waiting for it to come on HBO Max so I can watch it.
Yeah, when it gets to HBO, definitely check it out. Because, yeah, it's kind of the bridge between the Batman animated series and Justice League Unlimited. You know, it's part of that the Bruce Timm cartoon universe. They did some really good stuff on that show, including Gilbert Gottfried as Mixius Piddalick.
I'll have to check that out.
All right, we're starting off strong. Let me see. What I had at number 4 was I wanted to start with a monkey or an ape because there are so many to choose from DC. DC loved apes and monkeys and gorillas and whatnot over the years. And I came so close to going with Beppo, the super monkey, who stowed away in Super Baby's, you know, rocket ship from Krypton. I love Beppo because that's the stupidest thing that ever happened. But I decided to restrict myself to just one monkey or just one ape, and I'm going Detective Chimp.
Detective Chimp. Who's now part of the Justice League Dark.
Yes.
I don't know if you've read any of the Justice League Dark, but that series is really good.
Is it? Yeah, I've not read any Justice League Dark. So Detective Chimp, yeah, they've kind of integrated him more into the DC Universe in modern times, because Detective Chimp goes back to the 50s, like 1952, and it was a backup strip in Rex the Wonder Dog. Cornflake, there was a long-running DC comic in the 50s called Rex the Wonder Dog, and it was just a dog. It was like Lassie. It wasn't super-powered or anything. It was just a dog that would run around having adventures.
You say just a dog, and that sounds like something that I would eat up.
I would absolutely love that. Rex had his own comic book for years, and then they added as a backup strip Detective Chimp. And this was just like a trained, intelligent chimp who put on a little cap like Sherlock Holmes and then just started assisting a local sheriff in solving crimes. And like you could read the chimp's thoughts on the comics page, like the chimp would be thinking intelligently, but it was a chimp. It was just the normal chimp in the world, so it couldn't speak or anything. So it would just make monkey noises to the people around it. Meanwhile, it was solving crimes.
As most chimps do.
Yes, this was a brilliant chimp. I pulled out a reprint of a Detective Chimp story today, and sadly, they have not reprinted. They've yet to do like a nice collection of Detective Chimp stories, as far as I know, because that would be nice. But I had a comic from the 60s that had one reprint in it. And in this one, the chimp at one point gets up on stilts and puts on a trench coat and a fake beard so it can go into like a science conference and people would think that it was a human. It was great. Later on, like in the 80s, I think, they kind of retconned a new origin for Detective Chimp, and they said the aliens were responsible for Detective Chimp being super intelligent. And then eventually they let him be able to speak perfect English like a human. He was part of a Shadow Pact. So before Justice League Dark, that Bill Willingham series from, what, like 10, 15 years ago, there was like a supernatural superhero team from DC called Shadow Pact, and Detective Chimp was a part of that as well, along with my favorite Blue Devil. Detective Chimp was drawn originally by Carmine Infantino, you know, legendary DC Comics artist, and I think he said later in life, he said that that was one of his favorite series to work on. He really loved doing Detective Chimp.
That's awesome.
But it's a monkey in a Sherlock Holmes hat, you know, so what more do you want? My friends.
Right, that's the way I like my monkeys.
Yes. It's good to hear, though, Drew, that Detective Chimp is in good hands now. If the new Justice League Dark series is good, maybe I should check that one out.
Yep. Cletus and I both really enjoyed it, so cool. I suggest checking it out.
All right. The chimp lives on. Drew, what's going on for number 3?
Space Cabbie.
Oh, yeah, Space Cabbie. Nice. Oh, I totally forgot about Space Cabbie. This would have been in contention to be on my list. I totally forgot. Of course. That's great. Tell us about Space Cabbie.
Basically, it's this dude that goes driving around in a space taxi cab.
Yep.
He's been in both the cartoons and the comics.
Yes.
I think the most recent one I saw him in, he was in Super Sons comic book.
Oh, wow.
And John and Damian caught a ride with him or something.
I had no idea they'd use Space Cabbie in the comics recently. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Because I know where I saw him recently was that Justice League action cartoon from a couple of years ago.
Oh, yep.
They used Space Cabbie a few times in that, and I was just delighted. But yeah, it's a little spaceship that looks like a taxi cab. And it's a guy like in the old timey cab driver uniform, but he would get mixed up in like outer space science fiction adventures. And the Space Cabbie goes back to what, the 50s at least, or 50s or 60s, something like that.
Sometime before my time.
Yeah, it was before our time, certainly. But yeah, like Space Cabbie might even go back to the 1950s, I think. DC did a lot of goofy science fiction in the 50s and 60s, but it did not get any goofier than Space Cabbie. I will go to number 3, and I'm going with Brother Power the Geek. Ever read any Brother Power?
No, I don't even know this character.
Oh, you're going to love this. Brother Power the Geek is one of the notorious, weird, silly things from DC. This was 1968, and it was Joe Simon. Joe Simon, co-creator of Captain America, and he was trying to be like relevant, and this was, you know, the hippie era, so he wanted to do like kind of a youth culture alternative type of a character. This was a department store mannequin was struck by lightning, came to life, had super strength and superpowers, and kind of fell in with a bunch of hippies who dressed him up, put up like a mop on his head. So he had like long hair that was from a mop, and they dressed him up. And now he's this living mannequin hippie, Brother Power the Geek. It was bizarre. And not to brag, but I've got him right here. I have a complete run of the Brother Power comic book series because I have both issues.
All two of them.
It was canceled after number two came out. And the second issue ends with Brother Power. He's being chased by somebody and he hides inside a rocket ship. And then Governor Ronald Reagan, who was governor of California at the time, orders the rocket ship launched. And Brother Power is launched into space. And the story was supposed to continue in issue number three, but that never happened. And so the series just ended with hippie mannequin launched into space. The end.
So he's still out there somewhere. He can come back.
Well, and now they have used him a little bit. Like 20 years later, Neil Gaiman wrote a Swamp Thing annual, and he did a Brother Power story. He made Brother Power into like this freaky hippie, but sort of tied into the earth elemental like Swamp Thing is. And then also in the early days of Vertigo, in the early 90s, they did a Brother Power the Geek one-shot special comic. Weird little revival a couple decades later. And I think that he's popped up as kind of like a little joke, little cameo here and there. Oh, they did a Brave and the Bold issue with Brother Power like 10 years ago as well. So very strange character. But I love that this was a Joe Simon creation because it was like the 60s, 70s at DC. It was like all these middle-aged guys trying to get in touch with the kids and failing miserably every time. You know, like Stan Lee over at Marvel figured it out, you know? He knew how to write so the kids were into it. At DC, it was very clearly a bunch of old dudes who didn't have a clue. And we got some very strange stuff like Brother Power. What are we up to now? Drew, number two?
Yep. For number two, I have Condiment King.
Awesome.
Condiment King. I've heard this name. I know I've heard about Condiment King, but I can't remember where I know this name from. What is this?
He was first introduced in Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So was this a villain? What's going on? What is this character?
It was a villain. Yeah. It was a silly villain.
It was a wonderfully silly villain.
I guess. I must have seen this, and I've forgotten the details now. It was a condiment-themed villain? Like, would he, like, fire ketchup at everybody?
It was something like that. And I do remember him being in the comics at one point. I can't remember what comic he was in.
Yeah, I got to look this up. Those like ketchup and mustard squeeze containers, you could really get some distance with those things. You could do some damage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could.
I mean, not that I have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to see Cornflake at a restaurant. It's like Jackson Pollock just had lunch there by the time Cornflake leaves. She knows how to fire condiments around the room.
Let's not get into this.
Oh, yeah. You are the condiment queen of the Flopcast. Let me see. Where am I? Number two on my list. And this is kind of related to my number three pick because we're still in that same era of DC trying to figure out how to get in touch with the kids. And in fact, same guy. This was another creation of Joe Simon for DC Comics. This was in 1973. I'm talking about Prez, America's first teen president. Anything? Anybody? No? Am I the only one that knows Prez?
Oh, look at all the blank expressions.
Well, I got to say, right out of the gate, compared to Brother Power, Prez was a huge success because I also own a complete set. Prez lasted 4 issues.
Double the success of Brother Power.
Wow, doubled.
Yep. And yeah, this was the concept was, and it was timely because they really did just lower the voting age to 18. And the concept was all the youth in America voted in an 18-year-old president. They'd also, like, they changed the Constitution or whatever so that you could be 18 and be elected president. And so we get this young, blonde, long-haired dude suddenly is elected president, and he just goes by Prez. So it was kind of like a generation gap kind of thing, you know, the youth of America taking on the grumpy old people. Prez. I met Joe Simon many years ago. I was out at San Diego Comic-Con. Everybody's so excited because this is the guy that created Captain America, you know, with Jack Kirby. I got in the line to meet Joe Simon, and everybody around me had their arms full of Captain America stuff. I had Joe sign my Prez number one and my Brother Power number one.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, he seemed cool with it. He was like, oh yeah, here's my Prez and my Brother Power. Sharpied them right up for me. And now, also very similar to Brother Power, Neil Gaiman revived Prez also. He did a Sandman story about Prez. And then, also similarly, there was a Vertigo one-shot comic in the early 90s about Prez. And because it was the early 90s, it was the grunge era, it was called Prez Smells Like Teen President.
That is clever.
And it was pretty good, as I recall. They did a Prez collection just a few years ago. So it has the original series, plus the Neil Gaiman thing, plus the Vertigo thing. And then just a few years ago, 2015, there was a new Prez series. And we mentioned Mark Russell earlier. Mark Russell wrote a Prez series for DC. And this series was, it was a teenage girl becomes president. She's a girl who worked at a fast food corn dog restaurant. And she got her head stuck in the corn dog machine, and somebody shot it on video. It went viral on Twitter, and she became like an internet celebrity, and then was elected president. And again, it's Mark Russell, who writes a lot of very satirical stuff. So it's super deep political social satire, and it's excellent. It was really good. There's a collection. It's called Prez Corn Dog in Chief.
Love it.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. I feel like this series did not get the attention it deserved. But going back to the 70s, the super goofy hippie era Prez is at number two on my goofy list.
Now, you were mentioning in that comic, I think Cletus did a shout out for the Prez not too long ago when we were reviewing something Mark Russell. So you just jogged my memory.
There you go. See that? But yes, yeah, I definitely recommend looking that up. I will look up Justice League Dark. You look up Prez. Drew, just to keep moving now, how about number one?
For number one, I have Kite Man.
Yes! And,
Charles Brown.
Yes, his name is Charles Brown.
His first appearance was in Batman Volume 1, number 133. And he was created by Bill Finger.
Yeah, so yeah, Batman 133, so that's old. Was this like the 50s or the early 60s maybe? That goes way back. That's Silver Age, early Silver Age, I'm going to guess. And yeah, back then it was like villains were goofy, but all the villains were goofy. Like they weren't even trying to be particularly goofy when they invented Kite Man, a kite-themed supervillain.
He was just recently in Tom King's run of Batman. So,
oh, wow.
He used him quite extensively showing up during his run. So,
yeah, I was first exposed to Kite Man in a Batman comic of like the late 70s, early 80s when Len Wein was writing Batman back then. And he went on a run of like every issue, he would just knock out another old goofy Batman villain. So he did like there was an issue with Calendar Man. And there was an issue with Kite Man, and he did Crazy Quilt, and he went through a whole bunch of them. And yeah, that's when I first learned about Kite Man. And Kite Man's popped up in some of the cartoons and stuff since then as well. And yeah, I think it was, if I'm remembering correctly, I think Tony Isabella kind of retconned and decided Kite Man's name should be Charles Brown. And in fact, even had a scene in one of those comics where Kite Man crashes into a tree and then just screams in agony. If I'm remembering correctly, Kite Man might even be on the new Harley Quinn cartoon series. Yeah, wow, that's a great one. Again, if I'd thought of Kite Man, might have been on my list. Love it. Let me see. Number one, I have a whole team at number one. I was tempted to go Legion of Super Pets, you know, that's Crypto and Streaky the Super Cat and Beppo, the aforementioned Beppo the Super Monkey and Comet the Horse.
Or you could have snuck in Beppo that way.
Oh, yeah. But I went with a different animal super team, similar to the Legion of Super Pets, but this is strictly a dog team. This is the Space Canine Patrol Agents, introduced in a Superboy comic in 1966, and they only appeared in three issues, I think, back then in the 60s, but this was Krypto, you know, Superman's dog, Krypto the Super Dog, ran into a team of superpowered space dogs.
Because of course he did.
Called the Space Canine Patrol Agents. And there were a bunch of them. It was a big group. Every dog was different. So each one had its own different superpower. Like there was one named Hot Dog. You know, had super heat. It would just heat up. Chameleon Collie, who could shapeshift, take on the form of other animals. It was ridiculous. Tail Terrier was one of them, who just had like a really long tail that could whip around like Wonder Woman's lasso. And on it went. They fought against evil cats in space. I don't know how this did not become a hugely popular series, but they only did three issues with the Space Canine Patrol Agents. And then they were never heard from again, or at least not for many, many decades. They did resurface on, I remember, like in the early 2000s, Krypto had his own cartoon series.
Oh, yes, I do, because my kids used to watch that.
Yeah, it was a kid's show. It was a kid's cartoon called Krypto the Superdog, very aimed at a very young audience. But the Space Canine Patrol Agents were part of that cartoon series, which was fun. And then they also showed up in an issue of Scooby-Doo Team-Up, which is a crazy fun series.
Awesome.
I love Scooby-Doo Team-Up. So, yeah. Space dogs, you know? I wonder if they ever, like, started, like, barking, chasing after Space Cabby. I would read that comic.
Sounds like a good time.
I would absolutely read that. So there's some space dogs for you, Cornflake.
Thank you.
I put them in there just for you. And I believe we're at the top of the list now. So, Drew, what do you have at number one half?
Blue Snowman.
All right, Cornflake doesn't know this, but this was sort of the inspiration for this entire list.
Oh, wow.
Because a couple weeks ago, I got a text from Drew saying, hey, do you know who Blue Snowman is? And I wrote back, no, what are you talking about? And we learned about Blue Snowman together. So, Drew, yeah, tell us about Blue Snowman.
Blue Snowman was a Wonder Woman villain introduced in Sensational Comics number 59 in November 1946,
wow.
Created by William Moulton Marston,
yep,
himself. And the reason I texted Kevin in the first place, we are reviewing Sensational Wonder Woman. I don't even remember what the number was, but it was recent. It was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Blue Snowman popped up as the villain in it. I'm like, who is this villain? And the name says Blue Snowman, but it was actually a woman who's the villain.
Yes.
And she was had something to do with ice or something like that. And it was weird because it was Wonder Woman had gone to this farming convention, and she was there talking with some farmers, and Blue Snowman shows up, and it was crazy.
So you're saying that Blue Snowman is an icy blast from the very distant past?
Yes.
Yeah, I had never heard of Blue Snowman. And yeah, it's such a weird, interesting history that it was a character that was a woman named Blue Snowman. And when you say, though, that this was a character created by William Moulton Marston, that kind of makes sense. This was the creator of Wonder Woman, of course, back in the 40s. And he did some really unusual stuff in that series, and a lot of stuff involving gender. He was very interested in kind of pushing new ideas, even about gender kind of stuff, even in comic books way back in the 40s. Amazing that somebody thought to use this character again in modern times.
I like it.
DC has so many like cold and freezing characters. We could probably name like a dozen of them right now if we tried.
We could.
Now we can add Blue Snowman to that list. Finally, number one half on my list, I am going to another character first drawn by Carmine Infantino, just like Detective Chimp. But this comes out of Flash. And in back in the 60s, in the Flash number 167, we met a character named Mopey. Drew, do you have any idea who Mopey is?
I do not.
Okay. Well, Drew, you're going to love this. I might be about to ruin DC for you.
I highly doubt that.
This might be the end of Earth Station DCU. So Mopey is a little magical elf imp kind of character, like Batmite or Mr. Mixius Pitlick or whatnot. He wore like a green wizard's robe kind of costume, but silly looking little bespectacled character. And he popped up in front of the Flash and was like, "Hi, I'm Mopey. Guess what? I'm the reason you exist." And then Mopey reveals to the Flash that he caused the lightning strike to the chemicals in the lab that gave the Flash his super speed powers. It was all caused, actually, by this magical creature, Mopey.
Interesting.
That really happened in a Flash comic. And
no.
It was never rewritten. It was never, okay, that was a dream. It was never spoken of again. It was this one goofy story they did, and then the creators, the fans, everybody just collectively agreed that we shall pretend this never happened. But it did.
Excellent choice.
There was in the 80s or 90s or something, there was a Ambush Bug comic. Speaking of goofy DC characters, you know, obviously Ambush Bug is just crazy, goofy, and Ambush Bug would just make fun of goofy DC stuff. And Mopey came up in an Ambush Bug comic book decades later. Ambush Bug was like, "Hey, everybody, remember? Here's Mopey. Mopey happened." I remember. But yeah, it's... there are so many ridiculous characters at DC Comics, you know?
Drew, I love that you picked Condiment King. That made me so happy.
It's hard to narrow it down to just 4.5 goofy characters, because, man, I even thought of Alan Moore, his classic story, Superman story, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. In the introduction to it, he says, "This is an imaginary story," and then, "Aren't they all?" And I thought of that when I was making this list, because I thought, look at all these ridiculous, goofy characters. But then, oh, you know, aren't they all, though?
Yeah.
Essentially, every comic book character from DC, in a way, is pretty goofy. But we love it. Nice job, Drew.
Yeah, thanks. I came up with some good ones yourself.
Cranking out a 4.5 list like an absolute pro.
Your first top 4.5 list, you nailed it.
Also making it so that I could essentially take the night off.
Easy lifting for Cornflake this week. I've done that to you, though, Cornflake. We've done some 4.5 lists where I just kick back and...
Yeah, you usually don't tell me in advance you're going to do that.
Yes, yeah, it's a surprise. This is all on you. And you know what, Cornflake? Let's wrap this thing up.
Okay. Please come find us on the internet at flopcast.net or on facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is at flopcast. On Instagram, we are the_flopcast. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating or a review. That would be so kind of you. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation was kind of an offshoot. We got kicked out of the Space Canine Patrol agents because they realized we weren't space dogs. Thus, we were forced to go our own way and start a really, really stupid comedy band. That's a true story. Cornflake, thanks for joining me here.
Aren't they all?
Yes, aren't they all though? Yes, Alan Moore was right. Cornflake, thanks for another fine Flopcast. And hey, Drew, thanks for joining us.
We loved having you on the show, Drew.
Thanks for having me on. This was a fun topic to do.
We strive to keep things light and goofy around here. We don't always succeed, but that is our goal every week. And yeah, long overdue to have you as a guest over here, because again, thanks for having me hang out with you and Cletus over on Earth Station DCU so many times over the years. And of course, we want to remind everybody listening right now, every week, Drew and Cletus are doing a big show about all things DC right here on the ESO Network. Please visit them over at the Earth Station DCU podcast. And of course, we will have links to that with this show. Meanwhile, everybody, you know, be safe, be good, be like a DC character. That is, be goofy. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and space dogs.
Hey everyone, this is George Tripsis, co-host from the Metal Geeks podcast, along with Carrie the Metal Geek and Brutal Dave. Our show is where we bring the metal geek culture and heavy metal culture and mash it into the geek culture. Come listen to our show where we talk about movies, comic books, Disney stuff, and mostly about movies where I'm always right and Carrie's never right. Check us out at metalgeeks.net and catch us on all your ear hole listening podcast devices.
I'm Carrie the Metal Geek and I approve this message.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Hey, Cornflake, this is the Secret After Show. Hey, Drew is still here. Drew is here for the After Show. Hello.
Yep. Hello. I'm still here.
You are part of an elite group of Secret After Show guests. As we said last week, it's an even smaller subset of Flopcast guests are also Secret After Show guests. But you made the cut. You're here.
I feel honored. This is kind of like the Batcave.
Yes. We need a giant penny. And a giant dinosaur statue, and the Secret After Show will be just like the Batcave.
And some lobster thermidor.
We need it all for the After Show. I actually have something for the After Show because I was going through some old DC comics today, obviously preparing for our 4.5 list. And then I thought, you know, this is Flopcast episode 462. And I thought, I bet I have some issue number 462 DC comics in my giant pile of comics. And I did. I believe I have three. And I dug them out. I was reading them today. I have three DC comics that are issue number 462. And here they are. I'm missing at least one because I don't have, I believe there was an Adventures of Superman number 462. I don't have that. But I do have three of them here. And weirdly, two of them came out the exact same month. I've got two comics here dated August 1976. And that's Detective Comics number 462 and Action Comics number 462. Isn't that weird?
Interesting.
That is weird.
Yeah, I knew they were, those two series were very close in numbering for much of their run, but I didn't realize they at some point they fell exactly in line with each other. And then they spread apart eventually because Detective Comics started coming out bi-monthly instead of monthly. So then Action pulled ahead. But anyway, I have them both here. Detective number 462. On the cover, it's Batman is fighting a pirate for some reason.
Oh, that's weird. Even for Batman, that's for a guy who fights Condiment King, that's weird.
Yes, almost as weird as Condiment King is. He seems to be sword fighting with a pirate on the cover. And also, Batman is half frozen in a block of ice on the cover of this comic. Inside the comic, Robin also gets frozen in a block of ice. So this is not just a pirate. It's a pirate that freezes people in blocks of ice. So,
an ice pirate.
Oh, yeah, there was Ice Pirates was an actual movie, science fiction movie in the 80s, remember? I don't think they're related, but I wish they were. There's also a backup story in this issue with the Elongated Man. The Action Comics number 462 has a backup story as well, and this is a Crypto, the Super Dog backup story. Sadly, it does not contain the Space Canine Patrol agents. It's just Crypto solo. But Crypto is summoned back to Earth. I read this story this afternoon. He thinks that Superman is signaling him, but it's actually this other guy who's imitating the signal that Superman uses to summon Crypto from space. So Crypto gets to Earth, and he realizes this guy just wants Crypto to shoot a dog food commercial for him.
Oh.
So Crypto refuses, but then the guy says, no, it's for charity. It's for a dog charity. So then Crypto agrees to make the dog food commercial. This was the month that DC completely ran out of ideas. August 1976. Evidently. And then I've got one more here, and it turns out that actually a very important milestone comic book happened to be number 462 a couple of years later. From 1979, I have Adventure Comics number 462. And this is from the brief time when Adventure Comics was a dollar comic anthology series. So there's a Wonder Woman story, Flash, Dead Man is in here, Aquaman, and cover featured is a Justice Society story. But Drew, you might remember this. This was the story with the death of the Batman of Earth 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually dies. The cover of this comic is the funeral. It's Batman is in a open casket on the cover of this comic.
Oh, that is dark.
Yeah, they went super dark on this. And there's like Power Girl and Huntress and Robin. They're all gathered around in mourning. There's Alfred. Yeah, super crazy dark. So good night, everybody.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.